On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
Lord,
Martha said to Jesus,
if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.
Jesus said to her,
your brother will rise again.
Martha answered,
I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Jesus said to her,
I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord,
she replied.
I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
The teacher is here,
she said,
and is asking for you.
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
Where have you laid him?
He asked. Come and see, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
Take away the stone,
he said.
But Lord,
said Martha, the sister of the dead man,
by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been there for 4 days.
Then Jesus said,
did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.
When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them,
take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Great. Thank you both very much. I'm going to hand over to Hugh to speak to us. Thank you, Hugh.
Well, what if it is too late to help? What if the damage is already done? Perhaps we've sat by the hospital bedside for weeks, pleading with God to do a miracle. But now that opportunity has passed, the doctors have all gone home, and our loved one has gone too. God didn't show up. Death takes away hope and replaces it with something else, perhaps denial or despair or anger. Whatever it is, these emotions spring from a sense that when death comes, it's too late for God to help. And that was the situation of grief that Lazarus's family found themselves in. We're told that they were close friends of Jesus, so of course, when Lazarus fell ill, they immediately sent word to Jesus to come and help. They knew that he'd healed people before, but Jesus didn't come. He didn't show up. In fact, by the time he did arrive, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. That's a long time for a body, and without being too graphic, all hope for Lazarus had deteriorated. So when Jesus finally came, it's not a surprise what Martha says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And the connected question follows from the crowd. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Death can make us question Jesus, question his power and his love. As we read this week about the tragic death of Sarah Everard, we might find ourselves wondering, couldn't God have done something? or with each COVID milestone out there, we can feel lost and let down, even more when death comes close to home, finding ourselves wondering why? Why them? Why now? Couldn't Jesus have stopped it? Well, Jesus arrives and we get some answers. These verses contain so much comfort and hope for people floundering in the face of death. And they prepare us all for what we must surely face. So let's look at three things about Jesus that we need to know in the face of death. First, Jesus promises life in the face of death. Listen to what Jesus says to Martha. Five words which change everything. Your brother will rise again. These are not meaningless words of comfort. This is not, I'm sorry for your loss, or his memory will live on. No, these are substantial words. It's a game changer. Hope isn't lost in the face of death. It isn't too late after all. Lazarus will rise again. And if you're thinking, yeah, those just sound like more meaningless words, I beg that for now you keep listening and make your mind up at the end. Well, Martha herself, she accepted what Jesus said. She answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. As an Orthodox Jew, she believed that at the end of history, God would raise up everyone who ever died and they would be judged before him. So Martha agrees with Jesus, but it's a distant hope. The resurrection at the last day feels more like a point in the teaching syllabus, something our head knows, but that our heart doesn't feel, perhaps of little immediate comfort to a grieving sister. But Jesus' reply redirects Martha's vision away from a distant hope and onto himself. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The dead rising isn't a distant truth, but a nearby, knowable reality embodied in the person of Jesus. What Jesus says here is a bit like if Richard Branson says, I am Virgin, or if Elon Musk says, I am Tesla. That thing is so dependent upon them, it's so wrapped up in that one individual, that they can say, I am that thing. So Jesus is claiming personal ownership and exclusive responsibility for raising the dead and giving life. And he goes on to unpack that. He says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. That's the resurrection part. Christians will still die, but despite that, they will live. Jesus will resurrect them. And then he says, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. That's the life part. If you believe in Jesus, he gives you life that will never end. There must be two kinds of death going on here, because Jesus says that people who believe in him will never die, but he also says they will live even though they die. And when you put it together, we see that people believing in Jesus will still die on earth, but that won't be the end. They will go on living a life that will last forever and never die, never be ended by death. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we get a clearer picture of how that works. When a Christian dies, their spirit immediately goes to be with God, but their body stays on earth. And then one day when Jesus returns, those bodies will be restored and transformed into glorious bodies that our spirits will live in with God forever. Jesus makes it clear that this comes only through belief in him. Resurrection and life are so closely tied up in him that we can only receive them if we're in relationship with Jesus. So the question comes to Martha, do you believe this? That's a challenging question for a woman who's just lost her brother. And it's a challenging question for us today too. When faced with death, we're challenged to make our decision about Jesus. Do we really believe that with him, death has no threat? Well, wonderfully, Martha can answer, yes, Lord, I believe. And that's because she knows and trusts the one speaking to her. She's come to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. She knows him and loves him. She knows his power. And so her hope of resurrection is no longer a distant truth, but a personal belief in Jesus. Well, Martha goes to get her sister Mary, who comes to Jesus weeping. And the way that he responds shows us a second thing that we need to know about Jesus in the face of death. Jesus has compassion for the despairing. Mary falls at Jesus' feet and wails, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's word for word what Martha had said before. So we might expect the same response from Jesus, but that's not what happens. Jesus sees Mary broken with grief and sees those around her weeping, and he has a strong emotional reaction. Our translation says that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, and that Jesus wept. And that translation might lead us to misunderstand this emotion. Jesus isn't despairing like everyone else. He isn't just an extra mourner offering solidarity. It's much better than that. That word for deeply moved means something more like indignant. And troubled means more like stirred up. So we might capture it better if we said Jesus was indignant in spirit and distressed. I think Jesus sees the despair of those weeping and feels a deep compassion towards them in their grief. I think he saw the powerful grip that death had over them, and it made him distressed because of how they had no hope. Perhaps he sees in their despair a lack of belief in the life that he promises. So when Jesus wept, he wasn't shedding tears for Lazarus, but for those despairing. This is our God revealed in Jesus. He isn't distant and emotionless. He doesn't just tell us that we don't need to fear death in an aloof way. No, he feels for us in our grief. He weeps for those who think there is no hope, because he knows there is hope that they're missing out on. Hope that comes from knowing his power over death. So he goes on to prove that power. That's the third thing that we can learn from this passage. Jesus proves his power over death. Jesus wants to show them that death doesn't win. So he goes to the tomb and tells them to roll the stone away. Next, he says a prayer out loud to show them that God is his Father, because he wants them to all believe in him. And then he calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Can you imagine doing that in front of a group of mourners? For anyone else, it would be unthinkable, wouldn't it? But not for Jesus. He has power over death. Jesus says the command, and Lazarus's dead body obeys. The dead man comes out, still wrapped in his burial cloths. This really happened. Jesus backed up his words to Martha. He proved that his promise that he is the resurrection and the life aren't meaningless words. They're firm foundations of hope for every believer. Well, it's hard to imagine what it would have been like for everyone there. I suppose immediate shock, and then grief turned to joy, death turned to life, and the questioning of Jesus replaced by a worship and belief in his glory. This is a miracle. It's unusual. Jesus isn't on earth anymore, and we don't expect God to bring back Christians after 4 days. Instead, this event serves as an amazing one-off to back up the greater truth that each and every believer has life with God, even though they die. We can see our future bodily resurrection shown ahead of time in Lazarus. And you'd think that if Martha and Mary knew in advance what would have happened to their brother, it would have totally changed the way they would grieve. Of course, it would still be sad for them to lose their brother, but they'd have so much confidence that they would see him again. Their grief would be infused with hope because they knew that Jesus would raise him again soon. And that's what we can take from this passage. We can know this in advance. Jesus' promise of life in the face of death, Jesus' compassion for the despairing, and his proven power over death. We can all know that today. So if we're worried and despairing in the face of death, we have to answer that challenging question. Do we believe? Will we trust Jesus? If we do, then death is still sad. We will still weep, but not in despair, because death isn't the end. Death doesn't mean that Jesus has left it too late to help, because for anyone who dies trusting in him, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, which means they don't really die. They go to live with him. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to rescue us from the power of death. We pray that you'll help us to know the comfort and confidence that we can have in him, and give us opportunities to share this great truth with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.